Morning year 11, this is Mrs. Dewhurst. So this podcast, I'm doing this specifically really for my fabulous legendary year 11s of 2023, but if you are listening, you're very welcome. So it's Monday morning, and I thought we'd kick off the week with just a 15 minute little summary podcast on creation. So this week I'm going to do four. So we'll fuck for Catholic Christianity. So creation, followed by incarnation, triune God, and redemption. Okay. So hopefully, whether you're somewhere comfortable, you know, whether you've got a drink or whatever, maybe you're even going for a walk and you're listening to it in that way. But whichever way, just listening and concentrate, and I'll ask a few questions around and about. So please note that this is just a snapshot. It's not going into the absolute, you know, into the real minutiae and real explicit detail. It's more of a summary, and I try to address some misconceptions on the way. Okay, so Catholic Christianity, you remember creation. So in your head now, if you get a question on which key image we've studied, which shows a number of important Christian beliefs about God's nature and his role as creator, think about what that would be. Hopefully, right now, you've got the image of the creation of Adam by Michelangelo in your head. So you remember in the cloud, you've got a very old, ancient-looking God, okay, reaching out to Adam. You'll remember that God looks much older than Adam. He shows that God is ancient and eternal, while humanity is not. So you remember that God is carried through the air by a group of angels, showing that God is transcendent. So think about what that word means. Beyond and outside life on earth and universe. And then the other side, you've got Adam shown, so obviously he's naked, but he's showing perfect, full of strength, and it reflects the source of authority. Genesis 1, verse 31. God made everything very good. Okay, so moving on from that, obviously, and to other Christian art. Remember, we've studied Hildreth Meir's mosaic with the hand. It's almost like the hat, you've got sort of the cloud with the hand sort of reaching down. Now, this sort of the hand is very much depicting God's whole power, his omnipotence, and the lines from the hand extending, showing that God has created everything. So if you remember in the mosaic, the lines reach out from every part of his hand, and the clouds, that God created everything, his influence and power can touch all things. Now, if you were comparing the two, both of them show that God is creator, both show God as powerful and eternal. Obviously, creation of Adam is shown as an old man. Some Christians object. They think that an eternal God should not be shown as an aging man, whereas Meir's mosaic, you see only the hand. Meir's mosaic is more abstract. The creation of Adam focuses on the act of God creating humanity. So it's more about the difference, really, the relationship between God and humanity, as opposed to Meir's mosaic, which is that she's got that greater sense that God is always creating everything. Okay, fantastic. Some people also reject creation of Adam because in Genesis 2, if you remember, God brought Adam to life by breathing into his nostrils rather than touching him. So they don't feel that that is a fair depiction. Right, moving on. So, creation and the nature of God. So, remember that the whole idea of the nature of God is, what is God like? If it was the nature of Mrs. Dewhurst, like I've said, teacher, mum, wife, sister, it's different parts to me, okay? And there's different qualities. There's different aspects to the nature of God in terms of who he is. So, we've got God as creator, God as omnipotent, we've got God as transcendent. So you've got the, those three aspects there, which we see in Genesis 1, where we have God's creation of the universe, and we see these three elements in Genesis 1, like omnipotent. God saw everything that he'd made. Indeed, it was very good. That shows his power. Transcendent. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God only needed his own word in order to create, and that's really important. So when he says, let there be, the thing that immediately comes into being, God is completely above and beyond the created world. Okay? Now, Genesis 2, very much exploring creation and the nature of humans. Okay, so in Genesis 2, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Genesis 2 verse 8 really does explain how God made humans in his image, imago Dei. God created Adam, the first man, by breathing into him. This shows that humans share the spirit of God, which is also seen as the, you know, the Hebrew word, you'll remember, ruach, which is also translated as spirit. Now, can you have a think in your head now for a few seconds? What were humans given the gift of in Genesis 2? Have a think what it was. So I'm just having a little cup of tea. Okay. Yes, free will. Okay, so God is given, gives humans the gift of free will. We know that from the story of Adam and Eve. Free will doesn't mean that humans can do whatever they want, remember. Sin is acts as a barrier between God and humans. You know, it goes against the will of God. So it's about using free will, you know, in a positive way rather than a way in which turns away. That's why we've got evil in the world, because people don't use their free will in the right way. Moving on, so if you're asked about why they're significant, okay, so how, remember the word significant, important, how are the creation stories significant? We've got three themes here you absolutely need to remember. Can remember, you know, because if you've got a 12 marker on this, you would need to elaborate, to explore all three. So we have, can you think what they are? I'll give you some clues. Two begin with an S and one begins with a D. Right, let's kick off. We've got stewardship. Okay, so that duty that God expects us to look after the world and take care of it on his behalf. Stewardship in Genesis 1 verse 28, God tells Adam and Eve to subdue the earth, have dominion over every living thing. Okay, Genesis 2, God puts Adam in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. Okay, we've got the other S, sanctity of life. Okay. Life is holy and sacred. So in Genesis 1, God blesses humans after he creates them. Catholics believe all creation is holy because it's been created and blessed by God. Therefore, every stage of life, as we know, should be treated with care and respect, which is why this flips a little bit forward, you know, which is why we're against euthanasia and abortion. D, this is one I would say, I'm not saying misconception as such, but just forget what this, students can forget what this means. The word dignity, worthy of honour and respect. Now, the dignity of human beings. Genesis 1 states that God made humans in his image, or imago Dei, yeah. All humans are equal because they've been created by God and share in the qualities of God. So, for Catholics, all people have dignity. All people are worthy of honour and respect, and we should respect each other's dignity. Okay, perfect. Halfway. Right, origins and structure of the Bible. So remember, the Bible is the sacred book. Okay, it contains different types of writing, literary forms. So you've got the Old Testament, God, which is very much about God's relationship with the Jews during the years before Jesus was born. That's what the Old Testament it is. And second part of the Bible is the New Testament, written by followers of Jesus in the century after his death. So Old Testament, have a think now, there's four key sections in the Old Testament. Can you remember what they are? So I'll give you a few seconds. I'll give you some letters now. One begins with L, H, W, and P. Law, history, wisdom, prophecy. Okay. New Testament. See if you can remember what they are. There's four again. One begins with G, A, E, R. Okay, Gospels, the Acts of the Apostles, the events of the early church, basically. The Epistles, remember Epistles? Epistles, Apostles, links in, letters that were written by the Apostles. And of course, how to follow Jesus' teaching everyday life. And Revelation, written by the Apostle John, including his own mystical visions, which some Christians believe describe, excuse me, the end of the world. Okay, so these books were not the only Christian writings, but they were accepted into the New Testament because they passed four important criteria. One, they're backed up by the authority of one of the apostles. Two, they were written early on. Three, they agreed with other teachings and accounts of Christian beliefs. And four, they're accepted by all Christian churches at the time. Okay, so moving on from the different sections of the Bible, how is it inspiring? And what is this concept that is known as the Word of God? The Bible is the Word of God. It reveals God to humans and teaches them about God and what he wants for humanity. The writers of the Bible were inspired or guided by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible should be interpreted through the teachings of the Magisterium. Can you remember what the Magisterium means? Have a little think. Remember, we've been doing that. It came up in our vision the other day. And Kingdom of God. Yeah, teaching authority of the Catholic Church. So how is Bible the Word of God? It's the Word of God because God created the writing of the Bible through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is key, all right? Don't forget this. This is often something that students, candidates struggle with. The Holy Spirit is God's presence and love in the world who guides people to do the right thing and to know the will of God. Christians call this guidance inspiration, okay? They believe the writers of the Bible were inspired or guided by the Holy Spirit. The Bible contains the Word of God given by the prophets. These were the people inspired by God as they warned and guided people to remain faithful. And the Bible tells of the actions and teachings of Jesus in the Gospels. Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. And the Bible contains the writings of the apostles and the epistles. The apostles were Jesus' closest followers and filled with the Holy Spirit. They inspired them to teach and preach God's word. So the Bible today is interpreted through the Magisterium. So Catholics are guided by the Magisterium, okay, which comes from the Pope and the bishops. They, if you remember, have the authority to shape and confirm the Jesus teachings. And Catholics believe that the Magisterium is continually inspired and guided by the Holy Spirit. So that means we can trust the Magisterium because it is being continually guided by the Holy Spirit, okay? So, moving on. Oh, just one thing I forgot to mention before, so don't forget. When we're looking at the significance of the Genesis creation stories, also in terms of interpretation, don't forget you've got two different ways of interpretation. You've got the Catholic interpretations, so don't forget that includes myths in terms of the creation stories being myths, that the stories intended to convey deeper complex truths, not to be taken literally, okay? But the main messages being God made everything, everything God made was good. And you've also got the fundamentalist interpretations. That means they take it more literally. The Bible is the Word of God, so it has to be accurate in all respects. And God loves humans so much, he wouldn't mislead them by giving them incorrect information. Perfect. Moving on. Right, natural law. Well, this is, I would say, one of those key terms that I would say is some struggle with more than most. So, natural law, can you remember? Refers to the moral principles and values or laws that are thought to be inherent to all humans. So remember that natural law states that Catholics... Sorry, just one second. Just my cat being a little pest. Wondering what I'm doing. Natural law states that Catholics should do good and avoid evil. And they should also respect the sanctity of life. So we're all, humans are born with an understanding of what is right and wrong, okay? And the Catholic Church teaches that humans are born with this ability to know what is good and what isn't. Because why? Think about Genesis 1. God made all of creation good. Humans are made in the image of God, Margot Day. They share in his qualities. So for us as Catholics, this means that following natural law is important because it's part of God's will for humans. And humans should not need rules to tell them what is right because natural law states that humans should know right from wrong intuitively. So the Catholic Church and science, what happened between 1962 and 1965, this is something that comes up in other topics as well. Can you remember what happened? Yeah, the Second Vatican Council. So that's when the Pope and the bishops met to talk about important issues and update the Catholic Church's teachings on a number of topics. So in this time, one of the things, the Second Vatican Council stressed that religion and science support each other. They don't have to contradict each other. Catholic Church is very supportive of advances of science. And if, you know, for example, if the Genesis creation stories are read as myths rather than literally, they do not contradict the theory of evolution. So just to finish off then, we're just going to go to caring for, won't be a minute, caring for the environment. So you need to sort of, moving on from stewardship, look at your pee bag, by the way, it's in the hall. I'll put that. So look at caring for the environment, okay? So why should we? Well, all of creation is special because it was made by God. God made human stewards of the earth. And Jesus taught Christians to love your neighbour as yourself. That's why we should. So it comes from Genesis 1 and 2. And mark that. Love your neighbour as yourself. Okay? So Catholic Church teaches a delicate balance. So this idea of natural resources, which are materials found in nature and used by humans to make more complex things, should be used carefully to preserve them for future generations. Okay? So example of the church helping to protect the environment is in 2008. The Vatican installed plans and solar panels on the roof of one of his main halls. This is to help light and regulate the temperature of a number of buildings in the Vatican. Okay, right. Stewardship. So how can we care as Catholics for the environment? You've got three aspects here. One, local level. For example, throw away less waste. Two, national level. For example, support and buy products from environmentally friendly businesses. Put pressure on companies. And three, global level. Put pressure on governments to implement policies such as international meetings, such as Rio Plus 20. CAFOD and sustainability. Okay, not going to say too much CAFOD. I think, you know, we've covered that key surgery as well. I think we're all confident that CAFOD is a Catholic charity that supports sustainability. But that word sustainability, that's one of the other... that comes up, which means living in a way that respects the environment, okay, and its natural resource in order to keep everything in balance and harmony. It's sustaining it. It is keeping it going. So much of the world's energy and many of the products we use come from natural resources, and sustainability involves overusing natural resources at a rate in which they can be replaced. Okay, so this link, sustainability links Catholic belief that God made every part of creation good. So all of creation is important and invaluable. Okay, so that's really important. And there we go. Right, almost 17 minutes. That was just a bit of a whistle-stop tour with CAFOD. So if you're thinking now, oh, right, okay, not sure, or maybe natural law, or maybe I need to go over the creation stories and why they're significant, maybe I need to look at CAFOD and sustainability, whichever, hopefully that should redirect your revision. Have a look later. I'm just going to do the school run because we've got different hard terms, and I'll see if there's some quizzes that I can put on, etc., to help consolidate that. So I'm just going to send this through. Whatever you're doing, have a lovely day. Make sure you're getting a good balance between work and you are resting and seeing your friends and family. Okay?